It's Friday, movie review time.
Yeah, and this one is a classic, a Japanese classic that I've just loved it for a long time. It's called Lone Wolf and Cub.
And this is actually not so much one single movie. It's actually a series of six movies. Yeah. And we're kind of just going to be covering all of them in one show because they're kind of all similarly themed. And
yeah, and I got the Criterion Edition, but these you can also watch these on pay-per-view on YouTube. They yeah. have them, and I saw it. They're the restored editions, just like the Criterion collection that I have. I don't think, you know, of course, it's not Blu-ray quality, but it is in HD. And I looked at them, or the demos, and the trailers for them, and they looked pretty good. If you don't want to spring for the money to buy the Criterion Edition, which is beautiful, by the way.
I was going
to
say, the artwork, like the way it's all packaged is like really gorgeous. I love it.
And it's got a lot of extras, like behind-the-scenes stuff and stories and interviews with the guys who made these. And these are great. They're a series of samurai movies. They were never shown in the United States, but the first two of the samurai movies was chopped up to make a movie that was released here called Shogun Assassin, which is absolutely hilarious. It's ridiculous.
Well, right? It doesn't really make any sense. And the reason it doesn't make any sense is because they took the second movie in the series, kind of cut it up, and then they put about 12 to 15 minutes from the first movie in the series and kind of inserted that too. So I've seen Shogun Assassin a long time ago.
It's funny. It's
I think I might have mentioned it when I did the show, when I did our 13 o'clock episode on Video Nasties, like UK Video Nasties, because that was on the list because of the gore.
Yeah.
But I remember it being fun, but I remember it not making a lick of sense. Yeah. They make a lot more sense, obviously, when you watch the whole series.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, and you can probably also rent Shogun Assassin on YouTube also, because that is part of the Criterion Edition. They include that seventh movie as a bonus.
Yeah, so you can watch that for shits and giggles. Even though it doesn't make any sense.
The original story was actually a manga, which is a Japanese comic strip, and it went on for a long, long time. And I think there's thousands of pages of
I think all of it, like, it started being published in 1970 and it was hugely popular, like, even from the very beginning. Shit, I think on the Wikipedia page for the manga it said that it had sold over 8 million copies just in Japan.
Yeah.
And it ended up, the whole thing ended up being like almost 9,000 pages long.
Yeah.
This whole saga about these characters. Now, they didn't really do, because the thing is, the movies are kind of based on the comic, but they didn't really go all the way to the end, really.
Yeah.
But there was a TV series later that I believe actually went to the end of the comic.
Yeah, I've heard mixed reviews on it so far. Some people liked it and some people didn't like
it. Yeah, I haven't seen the TV review, but we have seen all of the movies.
But we really recommend Lone Wolf and Cub, the entire series, all six movies. They're worth watching. They're quite cool. Now, one of the neat things about them is that it's a Shintaro Katsu production. And Shintaro Katsu, the Japanese call him Katsushin. That's how they know him. Shintaro Katsu was a famous singer and actor in Japan. He was kind of like their version of Frank Sinatra. He had a really good singing voice. He was just a confirmed party animal, always getting busted for coke. And he accidentally killed his buddy in a mock sword fight making a movie. He was using a real sword. Kind of got in trouble for that. But he was a good guy. Everybody liked him. They say he was just an absolute riot. And he's famous for an entire series of movies. I think there's 70 movies of them.
There's 26 movies.
26 movies. Okay. For some reason, I was thinking 70. I've seen about half of them. The name of the movie is called Zatoichi. And he was this blind Yakuza swordsman. Zatoichi actually tried to make his living, or his cover was to be a masseur. But really what he was is he was a Yakuza.
Yeah.
A Yakuza is kind of like, is a gambler in Japanese culture. But gamblers were also gangsters, and it was kind of like their version of an outlaw. So Zatoichi was a really good series about this blind guy who traveled from casino to casino and got in trouble and ended up like saving the town, usually from crooked samurai or crooked Yakuza. And in his little blindman's cane, he had this straight sword. And because he was blind, he had certain advantages, like darkness was his ally and things like that.
He had a little bit of a daredevil thing going on, where his sense of smell and a sense of hearing was very good.
That's a good way to put it. He was like the Japanese daredevil.
Yeah.
they made 20-something movies with him, and they're all pretty good. They eventually get kind of samey, but he's a legend in Japanese film. Well, he backed the production of Lone Wolf and Cub, and he cast his brother as Lone Wolf.
Tomisaburo Wakayama
is
the guy who plays Lone Wolf, and he is, Shintaro Katsu's brother. I didn't know until I started watching all the extras.
And he's a badass, too. He's a big guy, and he's kind of heavy set, and that's just what, Japanese kind of, if you notice, a lot of their big characters are also kind of heavy set. But he can actually, like, do flips and rolls, and it's just a great movie. With him, he's got his son, Daigoro. I guess I maybe have to back up. He was the assassin or executioner for the shogun.
That's right.
And a bunch of intrigue happened between a bunch of different clans trying to take over the shogunate. And he ended up having a falling out with the shogun. A new shogun came in. They passed a death sentence on him. They killed his wife and he escaped, but he had his son with him.
Well, they set him up too.
They set him up too for, I think they... If I remember correctly, they framed him for the death of the shogun.
I think they did. Yeah. And so they like disgraced him. They not only killed his wife, and I think they killed like all his household servants and stuff too.
Yeah.
But they kind of disgraced him also. So he was kind of forced to go on the run.
On the run. And
with his little baby. And in the first movie, the kid was a baby, right?
No, he was probably about three.
Yeah.
Three, four. I wouldn't say a baby.
Yeah, he was like a toddler.
Right, he was a toddler. They kind of make this pact between father and son that they were going to walk the demon path in hell.
Yeah.
Across two lifespans and three planes or four planes. Something like that. Something very Japanese. Basically, they're going to go kamikaze. They've given up their will to live in a way. They're just going to fight and try to save their honor. So this kind of situation where if Daigoro, his son, ever got captured, and they tried to hold him hostage, Lone Wolf would just be like, okay, kill him. I don't care. Because, he's already pledged his life to walking the demon path. So his dad really didn't care about his death, but the audience cares. And that's really the gimmick that this movie has.
Yeah. Like, I think the writer of the original manga, there was an interview with him on the extras of the Criterion Collection. And that's what he said. He's like, there's kind of a thing where, samurai movies and stuff like that, it's kind of a thing where, you are not really afraid for them because they're badasses and you know they're going to, they're not going
to
die and stuff like that.
And
there's some of that here because he's probably not going to get killed.
Of course, he's the
but
star.
He's like, I wanted to put this little kid in it.
Right.
He's like, not so much that his dad was worried about him getting killed because he was kind of like, now he'll be with his mother, so it's fine. Mm. But the audience would care if the little boy got killed or if the little boy was threatened or in danger. And I think they did, when they made the movies, I think they did the really good job of making the kid that plays Daigoro, he is like the cutest kid ever.
Yeah.
This is like the most adorable child.
And he's got a cool haircut. It's like a little goth haircut. And the sides of his head are shaved. He's got a little ponytail on top. And he's got sideburns cut into his head, to his sides. And what's cool about it is that they didn't make him a Kenny. And a Kenny is a little kid from a Gamera movie, Hey, Gamera! No, none of that.
Quite bad dubbing.
I don't think Daigoro says anything.
He only has, I think in the whole six movies, he maybe has five or six lines of dialogue. Maybe. It might not even be that many.
And he most of the time just looks as resolute as his dad.
Yeah, he's very...
And dedicated to walking the demon path.
Yeah, he's very cool because he's very stoic.
Yeah.
He hardly ever looks scared of anything.
He got scared of the snow on the trees. He gets scared, but not over people with swords trying to kill him. That's the funny thing. He's scared of ghosts.
Yeah, he's just like, here it goes again. You know what I mean? He's just very stoic, and I love that about him.
And
he's such a good character.
In a couple scenes, Daigoro killed some guys.
Yeah.
Part of the gimmick is that his dad's pushing him in a stroller.
Yeah.
And the stroller is just laden down with weapons. It's got matchlocks or flintlocks in it, and it's got folding blades and spring-loaded blades and hidden swords and hidden staffs.
Yeah, it's totally booby-trapped.
Totally booby-trapped, and the little kid's in it. It can float when it has to float.
Yeah,
they can put skis on it.
Yep.
Yeah, they can actually ski from it. It's pretty awesome. It's funny.
Yeah, in the last movie in the series, I didn't know that it had this feature, but in the last movie of the series, which was set, part of it was set like out up in the snow and stuff like that, it actually has sled things on the bottom. Yeah, so skis. I guess that's kind of a, that's an option.
It can do whatever you want. It can't fly. Didn't see
no,
it fly.
No, it didn't fly. But no, it can do pretty much everything else. It's got guns in it. It's got swords in it. It's got, like, there's all these little buttons inside that the kid can push and, like, make shit happen.
It's got funny moments in it, but it's not really meant. I mean, it's not a wacky
Definitely not wacky. And it's pretty serious.
And it's extremely bloody. I mean, dudes get their arms and legs chopped off. Blood goes flying because that's the way it was in the manga.
Yeah, heads flying, arms flying. Every time there's a sword fight of any of which there are several over the course of the series, there are just fountains of blood. Yeah. Just fountains of it.
And then there's like weird characters with ninja skills. Some of them never explained. Like there was a one time where he got attacked by this badass ninja woman who had tattoos all over her body, and they went on and on over how good she was at receiving a tattoo because that was like, you know, some pretty taboo shit to old fashioned, and actually still taboo in Japanese culture to get tattoos. Anyway, she saves herself in the middle of a sword fight by somehow jumping out of her clothes and running away backwards. They never explained what that was about.
Yeah, they didn't explain if she was supernatural or if she was just like super badass
or
anything.
Some kind of a witch or something. I don't know.
Because there really weren't, I mean, other than moments like that, there wasn't a lot of
expositions. They don't.
There wasn't a lot of explaining. There wasn't a lot of supernatural elements until the last movie.
Yeah.
That kind of had a little bit of a supernatural thing.
Yeah, you know, and that was awesome. Eventually, it gets to the point where the bad guys, because a bunch of clan warfare going on from different clans fighting over the shogunate and fighting each other. And they eventually realize that mortal men don't really have a chance against this guy. So they went ahead and used the undead.
Yeah.
After him, which that was a really cool idea. And I wish they had started that earlier. There was a lot of Japanese monsters that they could have used in this program, in this show. And I think that would have been pretty neat. Yeah, fighting the undead, I didn't expect that.
Yeah, and that's actually that aspect of it, that ended up making the sixth movie probably my favorite in the series. Because it had a very yokai monsters vibe, which I really liked. That's another series we should probably do, yokai monsters trilogy. But it did have that kind of vibe where and it was like kind of spooky. It had like these kind of creepy scenes with like these undead guys kind of floating in the trees and like saying all kind of creepy shit.
Yeah, and you can't get any more samurai or yakuza badass. The badassery in this movie is just over the top. I mean, they've got guys who are just willing to give their lives to complete the mission, and like there'll be guys burning up and they're telling the story and passing on some kind of a story or information to another guy. You fought honorably, and because you fought honorably, I'm going to tell you why we're after you.
And then they're telling this big long story and he's burning alive, and he's like calmly,
but he's
talking.
Like totally calm while he's burning up, you know, just
it's like it's like totally badass kind of shit like that. But what we forgot to mention, the main character, Lone Wolf, whose actual name in the movie is Ogami Ito.
Yeah, that's right, Ito. They're always calling him Ito.
And he is pretty much a freelance assassin.
Yeah, he's a hitman.
Yeah, so what happens is, since he's wandering around and he doesn't really want to get caught by his enemies, who are the Yagyu clan.
Yeah.
So he's kind of trying to keep stuff on the down low. So what he does is he sets up, I guess everybody in the area knows that he's an assassin for hire. Mm. So when they want to hire him, they'll put out like this little flag with these two demons on it. It's two demons, right? And if he sees it, then he'll make like a little cairn with rocks.
Right, to let him know he's seen it.
To let him know that he's seen it and like where they're going to meet and stuff like that. And he'll pretty much, I mean, for 500...
Ryu,
he will assassinate pretty much everybody as long as you tell him what the reason is.
Right, and a Ryu is Japanese money. To me, it looks like dice.
It looks like a bar of soap, actually.
Cross between like a domino and a bar of soap had a baby. Kind of what it looks like. That's their money.
That's an interesting mental image. But like I said, there are six movies in the series, and the Criterion Collection, you get all six of them.
And then the seventh.
Which is Shogun Assassin, which is, like I said, is just basically the first two movies, like, kind of mashed together and edited. The first one, they're all called Lone Wolf and Cub, colon, and then it has another title.
Right.
First one's called Sword of Vengeance. Second one is called Baby Cart at the River Styx.
Yeah, awesome.
I know, I love that title. Third one's called Baby Cart to Hades.
Yeah.
Fourth one is Baby Cart in Peril.
Yeah.
Fifth one, Baby Cart in the Land of Demons.
Yes.
And the sixth one is White Heaven and Hell, which is actually my favorite one.
That's a good one.
The interesting thing is that if you look on the Wikipedia page, they have all the titles that they're known by in the West. Then they have the Japanese title. And then they have like a more accurate translation of the Japanese. And these were really funny. In the translation of the Japanese, they're actually not called Lone Wolf and Cub. They're called Wolf with Child in Tow.
Yeah.
And the first one, which is Sword of Vengeance, actually the translation for that is Child and Expertise for Rent. Which I was like, I kind of love that.
Yeah.
Like some of the other ones are kind of the same, like Baby Cart Against the Winds of Death, which is actually
That's a cool name.
Now, the last one, which in this country is called White Heaven and Hell, in Japan, the translation of it is Now We Go to Hell, Diagoro.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Which, awesome. You know, okay.
All right. Yeah, the movie's actually, they're directed by two different guys. I think they trade off, and both of the directors are good. You can kind of feel that there is some variation in the way the movies are made. They're shot beautifully. Everything kind of looks like old Japanese paintings. Lots of snow scenes, a lot of good nature scenes. Everything's, in wooded areas and in old-fashioned Japanese temples and old-fashioned Japanese houses. It looks very period. It looks good. The guy who wrote the manga loves the movie series. Yeah. And he said you probably couldn't do that today in Japan because those locations are all built up now.
Yeah.
They got stuff built there.
Because honestly, he was talking about, him and one of the guys that worked at the studio that made the movies, because they made them all in a pretty short period of time. Mm-hmm. Because we were talking about this too, because I was like, look, it's six movies and the kid doesn't really get much older. And
that's weird.
I was like, shit, they must have really filmed these. Because it's a little bitty kid. I mean, he's only 5 or 6 years old.
Yeah, probably. And kids can grow up pretty fast at
that's
that
what
age,
I mean. They change a lot. And he looks pretty much exactly the same.
Yeah, the costumes they have in there are awesome. He's in this little samurai costume. And he looks just like his dad in a lot of
seriously,
the
this is the cutest child ever.
Yeah, he's funny.
And it's like, and just the way he walks, because he's little bitty. He's just like a toddler, really.
Yeah.
And he's got his little samurai hair.
Yeah.
And his little, and his little outfit and stuff. Yeah. And he's just kind of waddling around like a toddler.
Yeah, they had him in a snow jacket. And it was just made out of some kind of little thatched wood material, woven material. And he couldn't walk in it. He just fell over.
That was the best. That was like one of the funniest. Like I said, it's not laugh out loud zany, but just the kid, because he's, I think what's funny about the kid, and really the kid is the best aspect, and this is coming from somebody that I don't like kids in movies generally, they're annoying as shit, but this kid is awesome.
Yeah,
just because for the whole thing he's so serious, he doesn't talk, you know, he's one with his dad. They'll go into battle against like 500 dudes.
And he wouldn't rat anybody out. The magistrate was going to torture him to give up a pickpocket. And he was just going to sit there and take the torture.
Remember that? These people are like beating the shit out of this little kid, getting him to talk. And he was all stoic and he wouldn't.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, man, look at that badass kid.
Yeah, he's like a little
badass. Then he like put up with it for so long that eventually the crowd was like telling the people to sort of like, cut that shit out.
Yeah, right. And the pickpocket came forward because everybody felt
so bad because this little kid was just taking it.
It's like, nope, won't tell you. I'm not talking.
Yeah. So I think that's what, when there are moments in the movie, like there was in the last one, like White Heaven and Hell, where he's in this little coat, like this little thatch coat, and looks like a little haystack.
Yeah.
And then he kind of like can't walk in the snow, and then he's like, pulp, and then he like falls over. It's like, it's adorable because you sometimes forget that he's just a little bitty kid because of the way he acts like through the whole movie. So that kind of reminds you, oh, he's just a little boy.
You also forget that a lot of this movie is ultra violent and very bloody.
It's very bloody.
It's not really a kid's movie. No. I wouldn't really recommend it for kids I wouldn't recommend it for a toddler.
Well, no.
At least 10.
Yeah. To watch this movie. That should be all right because, the violence.
There's nudity in it, too.
There is, yeah.
Yeah.
Not a lot, but there is some.
Yeah, you know, the Japanese weren't shy about topless women.
Or butts.
Yeah.
Little kid butts.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, I think they showed Diagoro with his pants off a couple times.
Yeah.
Which I don't think you could get away with that today, but
maybe not, but I mean, he's pretty little.
Yeah.
So, I don't know if it's like.
It just ends up being like, something out of National Geographic in the setting that it is that it's in. They're wearing
because
this old
it's
fashioned.
Historical. Yeah.
Yeah, they're getting in those hot drama. Tubs and stuff.
But yeah, like I said, I don't really think. Yeah, a 10-year-old kid could probably watch it. The violence is very, I guess you could call it stylized.
It's cartoonish.
It doesn't, like some of it looks realistic. Yeah, the heads are flying and the arms are flying and he cuts off people's legs and stuff like that.
Blood squirts out like like hoses, like water hoses, and it's supposed to.
Yeah, and it's bright red. It's like that Dario Argento Suspiria blood. It's like a look that looks like tempera paint.
Yeah, and they're doing that because the manga was like that.
It was, and it was super violent. Yeah. And actually, one of the things I was going to say was that the comic, when it came out, one of the things that a lot of people liked about it was evidently the guy that wrote it did a lot of research into that period that he was writing about, and it's supposed to be very, very, very historically accurate. Mm-hmm. And I'm assuming because the movies looked a lot like the comic and took a lot from that. So I'm assuming that the movies were also historically accurate as far as, you know, the costuming went and the settings and the kind of the whole political intrigue of everything that's going on, which I don't really know. It's kind of complicated. And I, you know, obviously you kind of maybe lose a lot in the translation because, you know, we're not from that culture. So I don't really.
Yeah.
But you don't really have to know.
No.
I mean, basically, you just have to know, here's this guy and his little boy.
Yeah.
And there's this other clan that's trying to kill him.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's basically that. And then him going and doing his assassin.
A lot of the themes are basically themed, the same themes that you would see in Western.
In a Western. In a Western. It's similar to a Western kind of.
The setting is very different, but it's the same kind of thing.
Yeah.
Quite cool. The movies are a real trip. I think you can watch each movie on YouTube. I actually recommend the Criterion Edition because it comes with a booklet, a lot of photographs, lots of extras, and it's a beautiful set. Now, I paid a lot for it. I think I paid close to $60, $70 for the set, but it's gorgeous.
It's worth it, I think. Gorgeous. I mean, like I said, six movies, you get an extra disc.
The packaging is beautiful.
Yeah, that has all the extra stuff. It has Shogun Assassin, if you want to watch that.
Yeah, a bunch of documentaries.
Yeah, documentaries. They interview the writer of the comic. The artist has sadly passed away, so they couldn't interview him. But, you know, it just has a really lot. It's obviously not as expensive as the Zatoichi set.
The Zatoichi's got a shit ton of movies.
But the Zatoichi set is 26 movies. I mean, so that's like $120 or something.
I'm eventually
like
going to get it. I have to. I love the Zatoichi series, too.
I like them, too. And obviously, we haven't seen all 26 of them, although we have seen quite a few of them.
I think I might have seen half of them.
Yeah, we probably did over the years, because I remember we would watch them every now and then.
Yeah.
But, those are good, too, and I recommend those. But, I mean, these are both classic Japanese series in this genre. So,
and this one actually kind of can go into the horror and supernatural realm. Zatoichi doesn't.
True.
Zatoichi.
Although, like I said, really only the sixth film... Lone Wolf and Cub film has kind of a supernatural overtone, which I think is why I liked that one the most. Plus, it seemed like, the setting changed a little bit because they had a lot of the stuff happening in the snow and the baby cart had the skis on the bottom and there were all those guys like on skis, like he was chopping people up.
I would have liked the series to continue. I would have liked to have seen some Japanese ogres, you know, the ones with the one eye and the horn.
Yeah.
And maybe the umbrella monsters.
Yeah.
Those things are awesome.
Which, like I said, we're gonna have to do the Yokai Monsters trilogy because we actually have that on DVD.
Well, at least do the first one.
At least do the first one because the first one is batshit.
Oh, yeah. Awesome.
The other two are good, but they're more straightforward kind of samurai movies.
They're like samurai movies.
The first one is like a monster movie.
Yeah.
It is crazy.
Absolutely crazy. We played it on the visual system at our club.
Yeah.
And the goth night, everybody be looking at
watching. Everybody's watching it up on his going, what the fuck is this? Yeah. Because the monsters
are
so...
There's a kappa in it, and there's the umbrella monsters,
the baby ghost.
Baby ghost.
He's my favorite with the big huge head.
Baby ghost. There's a...
the woman with the long neck.
Yeah. And then there's a Babylonian vampire.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's... Yeah,
it's crazy. Cool. Yeah. But yeah, we're going to have to do that one too. Now, according to the Wikipedia page on Lone Wolf and Cub, they've been talking about doing a remake of in the U.S. Although they've been talking about it
since... An American remake?
Yeah. They've been talking about it since 2012.
Please don't do that.
And it hasn't gotten off the ground yet, so keep your fingers crossed that they don't do it.
Let me guess, it's going to be starring white people.
I hope not.
And a diverse cast.
Well, I don't...
A diverse cast in the Tokugawa period.
Yeah, it would be dumb if they... I don't know. It's dumb to remake it in the first place, but it's like... You know, it just seems like a waste of time.
You're going to do a Japanese movie in the Tokugawa period, you got to have Japanese people doing it with famous Japanese writers and actors. It's got to have that Japanese feel, or it's just not the same. This series of movies is authentic. This is the real thing.
Well, yeah. And I really enjoyed these. And like I said, we haven't seen the television series, Evidently, there was a there was a TV series that went three seasons, 1973 to 1976. That might have finished the comic off, I think. That was my understanding of it. Because I'm not going to spoil the end of the comic.
Right.
But the movie, I don't think, goes all the way to the end.
Okay.
But anyway, these are really good movies if you're into samurai movies or if you're into like gory, crazy, well, you know, Japanese
people,
films.
Some people have never seen a samurai movie and don't even know if they're into it or not. So
yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and recommend to watch the very first episode of this series.
Yeah. You'll like you don't necessarily have to watch them in order, although I would recommend it.
I would recommend it, yeah.
You know, I mean, you can kind of get the gist, but...
You can always watch Shogun Assassin first.
Yeah, and see if you like that type of thing.
Yeah,
but I mean,
it's zany.
Well, all yeah, because they kind of just cut up like all the wackiest shit
and put it in
and put it all together.
Yeah.
So if you watch Shogun Assassin, you're like, that didn't make much sense.
Yeah.
Go back and just watch all of them in order, and it will make a lot more sense. Okay, anyway, that'll do it for our latest review of the Lone Wolf and Cub 6-movie series. Remember, if you like the show, to like, share, subscribe on all your social media. If you'd like to support the show, check out our Patreon page at patreon.com/13oclockpodcast or go to our blog, which is 13oclockpodcast.wordpress.com. If you'd like to give a one-time donation, there is a link there in the sidebar to a PayPal account, and you can do that if you would like. And be sure to tune in for our regular episodes every Tuesday and our movie reviews every Friday. And that'll do it for this episode. See you later. Bye.